There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hi all, welcome to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, which is our daily podcast that brings together the very best bits of today's show. Today being Thursday.
Have a think about what you're going to need to eat this weekend. Sort it out today. Just get yourself prepared for 48 hours of bit of munching. I'm going to be joining 3.5 million people 1 o'clock tomorrow who will be doing squats and lunges with Joe Wicks via the internet.
No.
3.5 million. I kid you not. 3.5 million tuned in. He's doing PE. Joe Wicks, body coach. We've had him on the show.
Yeah, no. I did a couple of gigs with him earlier this year.
Lovely. He came out, didn't he, for the Dubai Fitness,
Challenge. Yep.
I went down and to Skydive Dubai to take part in the attempt for the world record. Joe Wicks is now coming directly into my home. I don't have to go to him anymore. It's brilliant. He's basically becoming the world's PE teacher, okay. Right? And he started doing PE sessions, 9 a.m. UK time, so 1 p.m. ours. The first one that he did, 1.4 million people tuned in to watch on YouTube. And by the way, that's going to be more than 1.4 million people because that's 1.4 million views on YouTube. And there's a good chance that it might be you and two kids bouncing around your living room. That was Tuesday. By the next day, he had 3.5 million. And he's the US newspapers have picked it up. They didn't even know who Joe Wicks was before. He's British.
Wicks probably didn't understand him, did they?
They may need subtitles.
Come on, you lot.
This is a guy that was very good. This is a guy who started off throwing broccoli around on Instagram. And now look at him.
Yeah.
PE for the masses.
Keep going.
So that's
I know it's tough.
Part of my weekend routine.
Sorry, Joe.
What about you, Tom? Tell us about your weekend.
Staying in. I think you might have just hit a nail on the head for me. A little Eureka moment for me. I just made something of a very personal admission to you off air that I'm a sucker for a jigsaw puzzle. I love a jigsaw puzzle.
Do you know what? If you'd have asked me what's Tom's secret hobby, I would not have come up with jigsaws. Totally wouldn't have associated you with a jigsaw puzzle.
See, there's lots of these because I used to be a stamp collector, but all my stamp collection is
about Philately.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm glad that you know the official name. Yeah, so I've got some very rare stamps still at home somewhere in storage back in the UK, that is. I'm still also a member of the Young Ornithologist Club back in the UK.
Righty, bird watching.
Bit of a bird watcher. But yeah, jigsaws in times like this and during holidays, any time at home. I love a jigsaw. But I was going through the stores the other day. And
it's because you come from a country of terrible weather.
And I've done all my jigsaws. And I'm sort of reticent to do it again.
Oh.
So when you started saying about get a jigsaw out, I thought, what a good idea. I wonder if there's a sort of jigsaw swapping, a jigsaw swinging community out there where you can just sort of swap your jigsaws between different environments and things like that. Does it exist or not?
Do you know what? I could see that getting really heated, though. Imagine if it came back with a piece missing.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. Yes.
And one in the middle so that you wouldn't discover it till the very end.
Yeah, what have you given me?
You don't want to be in day two of your stay-at-home weekend and getting to the end of the puzzle and discovering that it's a piece missing.
You'd never forgive that person, would you?
Passive aggressiveness taken to extremes.
Is there that service? Does that exist? Or have I just struck on a multi-billion dollar business out there? Possibly not.
That's not going to make your fortune, Tom. I'm sorry, I don't think so.
I suppose the other thing is how you get your hands on that jigsaw now.
No.
Because you can't really interact with them. You could leave it on someone's doorstep. Jigsaw gifting! Leave it on the doorstep. Don't even stand 3 metres away from it. Just leave it there.
If this is what he's coming out with now, spare a thought for Tom's wife and kids, what he's going to be like Saturday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Grumpy.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. A good reminder, though, just get yourself sorted now. It's going to be easier before 8 o'clock tonight. There are a lot of businesses that are delivering I got a message from Magruder's the other day. I got a message from speaking to the guys at Kinokoniya. Magruder's have obviously not just got books, they have games and puzzles as well, and they're doing the online bring it to home thing. Mm. Kinokoniya has a website, they're doing the same thing. Think of where you'd normally go in the shops and have a Google and see if they are delivering, because there's a very good chance that a lot of people will be. And then, like I said, get yourself sorted out today so that you're ready for when they start spraying the streets and telling you all to go home 8 o'clock tonight.
Do you think it's worth us just reiterating to the listeners the importance of this? Because I know that we're reporting it and you'll get all the details from Serena and the rest of the ARN news team. I'm pretty sure that our colleagues will do it throughout the rest of the day. But just to reiterate the importance of you being aware of what's going to happen at 8 p.m. this evening all the way through to 6 a.m. this coming Sunday. An unprecedented national disinfection program will be swinging into motion. Now, whilst you heard of sort of streets being disinfected in the past and you've heard of demisting and pest control, etc., this is completely different because basically this is going to impact your lives over the course of the weekend. Rule of thumb, don't go out between 8 p.m. this evening and 6 a.m. on Sunday unless you have been told that you're an essential worker, unless you need to be helping with the fight against coronavirus. And if you haven't been told, then that doesn't mean that you are essential. Why should you not be going out? Because your movement will be restricted. The movement of traffic and the public will be restricted. Public transportation is a no-go. It's not going to happen from 8 o'clock this evening. The only reason you should be leaving your house is for emergency purposes, whether it means whether that be medical or, of course, going to the supermarkets for essential items. Is that right?
I'm not even sure that we're big on a supermarket visit this weekend, Tom, to be honest.
Okay.
I think it literally is. Look, get it in now. Let's just make it easier on everybody. I don't necessarily want to go out and get covered with a face full of disinfectant anyway. Let's just think practically about this. Stay in 2 days. Little bit of a challenge for you.
Just to alleviate, lots of things are obviously closing and have closed already. Pharmacies, food retail outlets, including cooperative societies, grocery stores, supermarkets, will remain open and they are allowed to operate 24 hours as per a circular issued by the Ministry of Health and Prevention and, of course, the NCEMA. But all of the authorities calling upon the community members to follow instructions during the sanitisation time for their safety and in compliance with the precautionary measures taken by the UAE to contain the coronavirus. Quick one as well with regards to movement around the Emirate. Workers' personal or work identity will be checked and verified by the necessary authorities if you are out on the road. So if you are making your way to an essential workplace, it is more than likely you will be checked for identity.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Dubai Economy has told all private sector businesses, with a couple of category exemptions, to implement remote working for 80% of their workforces. We did see this week a major appeal coming out from Dubai Chamber, asking private sector companies to get in line with the Dubai government's stay-at-home directives. We're going to speak now to the man who has spearheaded it, His Excellency Hamad Bouayman, is the President and CEO of Dubai Chamber. Good morning, Mr. Bouayman. It's lovely to speak to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You launched a major campaign this week, hashtag Be Safe, Work Smart. What were you trying to do?
Okay, if you'll allow me to take one step back in dealing with this current situation, and here I'm focusing in Dubai, which is the center of business for the whole country. So as a rule of thumb, the less people out there, the better. Of course, the focus is not only about safety, well-being, and society, which are very important aspects, but also about business and economy. So when we look at schools, all schools are down, and students are started this week, studying from home, and that's quite successful. The government also being successful in providing 100% of their services online, and as they just announced this morning, they will be working from home 100% starting from next week. Society, many residents and citizens already, they are staying at home because of the calls of the government. But when we start looking at the businesses, still many in fact, almost all, are operational. So we conducted a study just area last week to survey them and just to understand the situation. And we came up with four important facts. And this is, as number one, because of the lower economic activities, many businesses already reducing number of staff and they are alternating them, but they still at that 40-50% capacity of working at distance or having more people already operational in their workplace. Of course, there are businesses, which is facts number two, they need to keep operating at 100%, such as the logistics, the cleaning companies, supermarkets, securities, healthcare, which is understood. The third important fact that from the survey that not all businesses can operate 100% from home, which is understood. Again, companies such as in construction and manufacturing sectors, they cannot do it. What was really important for us that everybody we surveyed, they confirmed that they are responsible and they are looking after their workforce, community, and businesses altogether. But they want to be told if they should take this 40-50% to levels such as 70-80% work from distance or not to bring them to their own workplace. Of course, if the government will ask, and that's what they said, they will follow. So our companies, and our role as a chamber, as the voice of businesses, to encourage them to take this responsibility few steps further to support the efforts of the government in fighting this virus. And this is what we try to do through our appeal to the business community.
Right. So the members were saying to you that people basically need to be told. How much of an issue has it been, people still being in offices?
Well, again, this thing happened to us quite fast. Maybe 50% already working from home, 50% continue to work as normal. Of course, there is a slowdown in the economy, which everybody understands, but they're still out there working because they need to work. And this is what's happening right now. And we want this percentage to reduce as much as possible.
And, of course, the onus there is really on the employers, isn't it? Because the employees, and we've heard from a lot of them, saying that, you know, everyone wants to make sure they keep their job at the moment. No one wants to be the one to sort of say to their boss, please, can I go home?
Yes, the focus is really the leadership of these businesses. Again, as I said, we need to understand that not all businesses are the same. Some businesses can operate 100%. In fact, some of them in certain sectors are already doing that. But the majority of them cannot operate at 100%. And if they do so, that means they are disrupting their businesses, which may lead into, laying people off or pushing them into their annual leaves. From our perspective, we need to balance the effect and to continue having private sector that hopefully will be able to go through them through this difficult time and come out of this crisis strong.
And of course, now we have seen Dubai Economy come out and give that directive that, you know, businesses, apart from a few sectors, have to have 80% of people working from home. What else, Mr. Bouayman, would you like to see the private sector do to help its employees?
I think it's important, again, as Dubai Chamber representative of the business community, that it is our responsibility to protect the interests of the business community and support them in whatever way we can, and taking this matter quite seriously. So we always been calling for the public-private partnership, and we strongly believe that in the economy and business interest, we need to support the government's efforts to deal with this current crisis the spread of the virus. And it's important to know that many research shows that the more strict we are as a society in staying home, keeping the social distance, the faster the economic recovery. And there are, of course, great lessons to learn from China, Singapore, Japan, South Korea, and others. So it is in the private sector interest. And that's what we're trying to do over here, is to not only to get orders from the governments, but we want this to be done by the private sector in sharing their responsibility in the society and their responsibility to their own workforce. And that's what our message is about.
And before we let you go, Mr. Boeman, what are you doing as Dubai Chamber to help your members?
From our side, actually, we've been focusing in the past, I would say, 4 weeks or a few months since also the initiation of this a crisis globally. In 3 or 4 measures, we started, of course, and already today we are at 100% of our services are online. Luckily, we were before the crisis somewhere in the 95-96%, and we had to push through and get the remaining of our services online. As of today, actually, we're providing everything online, and we kind of close all of our service channels just to provide it through that level. We started from last week sending our staff to work from home. We started 30%. Today we are at 80-90%, and beginning of next week we'll be at 100% working from home. But also, what's really important for everyone to know, we work very closely with the government at 2 levels. One level is to support the city to continue the supply of the food and the important items. And this is, of course, very important. As I said initially, Dubai is not only the center for the city and the country, but also for the whole region. So it's important that our businesses continue operational to support providing food and all the different supplies. And we're doing this with many of our business groups and councils. And at the last level, we work also, and we've been working very closely with the team at the level of Dubai and the federal governments to look at the challenges that businesses are facing currently, and coming up with a lot of stimulus packages to support reducing the negative impact and hopefully supporting the businesses to go over this difficult time together and to survive it and hopefully come out of it even stronger and ensure a speedy recovery in the months to come.
Let's hope so. His Excellency Hamad Boeman, the President and CEO of Dubai Chamber, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-sized Business Breakfast. Newsmakers.
The movers and shakers shaping your world.
First newsmaker of the day. In Tom's quest to try and find silver linings out there. Mind you, I don't know how much of a silver... Well, this is a silver lining for one individual and his backers. Maybe not for everybody out there. But it does give you an idea of the fact that there are some people out there spying opportunities in these troubling times. Whether that comes as solace to you or not remains to be seen. William Albert Ackman is going to be my first newsmaker of the day. Maybe not familiar to everybody listening in at the moment. An American investor, hedge fund manager and philanthropist. He's the founder and the CEO of Pershing Square Capital Management, a hedge fund management company. And he's considered by some to be a contrarian investor, but considers himself an activist investor. Whichever way you look at him at the moment, he is an investor who's just made a whole load of cash. The hedge fund manager has claimed his firm made, get this, $2.6 billion last week, betting that the coronavirus outbreak would cause a market crash, barely a week after warning that something big was coming for US companies. Ackman took advantage of the bond market turmoil to make almost 100 times his original outlay of $27 million on the market movements. He confirmed yesterday to CNBC and other news outlets, and also confirming it on his website. website, Pershing Square Capital Management. The returns were made by buying, and I quote, credit protection on various global investment grade and high yield credit indices, protecting his fund from steep stock market falls that were happening at the time. He posted yesterday this. On 23rd of March, we completed the exit of our hedges, generating proceeds of $2.6 billion for the company, compared with premiums paid and commissions totaling just $27 million. I'd say just $27 million. First world problems, I'm sure. But again, it just proves, doesn't it? It just proves. And we've heard time and time again, haven't we, of those individuals who've not so much profiteered, but have seen profits arise from just some shrewd business in troubling times. When there is uncertainty out there, some people who can be quite certain and stick to their guns can do very well.
Well, it's funny because that brings me into the Wanda Capital story this morning that I like. Nana's a grocery chain that I've never heard of, online grocery business in Saudi Arabia, has just raised quite a bit of money, $18 million, in a fundraising round. Wanda Capital, we've certainly heard of here because they are a massive investor based in the UAE, has put money into that round. So have a number of Saudi institutions. And it just goes to show, because I was chatting to someone the other day about M&A activity, and they said, look, it's, you know, it has incredibly slowed down, as you imagine. Business valuations at the moment are changing immediately because of what people can do, can't do, whether your business is still operating, whether it's not. It's very hard to get a true valuation, and a lot of people just want to sit on their firepower in terms of the money that they have to invest. Not the case, obviously, for online grocery. This is what Fadi Gandour, the executive chairman of Wamda, and again, a name that if you are a regular Business Breakfast listener, you will certainly be. He said, in today's post-coronavirus world, I'm looking forward to the post-coronavirus world, by the way.
Please, can it come sooner rather than later?
Those companies that have positioned themselves to provide eventual services to society in normal and challenging times are going to be the winners in the future. He said Nana is one of those companies. And they're going to use the round of investment to add different hypermarket partners and boutique food stores to their normal grocery offerings. Then they will expand throughout KSA, and then they say eventually the plan is to expand outside. Saudi Venture Capital Company and Middle East Venture Partners, MEVP, have invested in it as well. I'm pleased just to see M&A continuing. Mm. And this is the thing. The firms that do well at the moment will be those that either already serve the stay-at-home sectors or who are pivoting into it for the moment. But I'm just pleased to see that, you know, fear hasn't completely taken over and that people are still looking for opportunities and investment opportunities.
Yeah, and life goes on, doesn't it? I mean, I think that is one of the mantras. Obviously, life has changed and there are new norms that we all have to abide by, and you have to listen to the advice of the authorities and you have to listen to. But you need to take you need to take inspiration from different sources now, and thinking on your feet, thinking outside of the box, looking at some of the good stories that other people have come through from is interesting. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people take solace from at present. But also human nature. And I think this is I've been trying to put my finger on the sort of developing stories over the course of the last few days. And I think because, you know how quite often we become quite insular with what's going on around us and the stories that are impacting us here, and maybe we haven't got a wider perspective on what's going on. This has forced everyone to have a wider perspective because, yes, you are tackling with business problems. You obviously have got a whole new lifestyle to live with being confined to your home as well. But equally, because it's such a global issue, it is a pandemic we're dealing with, you're looking at stories developing in other parts of the world all the time. And that's why I think that whole 24-hour news cycle has become supersized, for want of a better phrase here, because we are all, you know, once you think you've got the last piece of information from Wham here in the UAE, suddenly the US market is up and you're getting all the stories out of there. Then, of course, you roll into Europe, etc. It is ongoing. I mean, that's why I think the fact that another of our newsmakers today, Prince Charles, is making news. I mean, ordinarily, Prince Charles, what does he mean to half the world or the majority of the world? Hummus, very
they
good
make hummus.
Yeah, I'm hoping that is still continuing on his private duchy estate at present. But he came out yesterday, or the news came out yesterday, that he's tested positive for the coronavirus. His private estate, Clarence House, confirming that the 71-year-old heir to the throne was diagnosed with COVID-19 in a statement released yesterday. The royal apparently displayed mild symptoms on Sunday and then was tested on Monday. Charles otherwise remains in good health and has been self-isolating in Scotland, Balmoral, with the Duchess of Cornwall, who's tested negative for the coronavirus. There are worse places to self-isolate, I can tell you that, that's for sure. But the fact that he has been able, has tested positive, I think, on the one hand, it shows that this is a virus that knows no limits.
Doesn't discriminate.
Does not discriminate. But at the same time, it's become such a global story for everybody that somebody like the heir to the throne of the United Kingdom, the heir to the throne of Britain, is a man who is generating headlines the world over. If he can get it, anybody can. And I think all of these stories seem to convince more and more people to take this issue seriously if they're not already.
Well, we are going to hear a little bit now from Prince Charles talking not about the coronavirus, but talking about Greta Thunberg and how humanity leaves things too late to fix. He is talking to CNN earlier this year.
Well, she represents one of the main reasons why I've been trying to make all this effort all these years, because, as I said, I didn't want my grandchildren to accuse me of not doing something about this in time. And, of course, there they are. All her generation, almost my grandchildren, if you know what I mean, all desperate because not nearly enough has happened. We've left it so late. So I've always worried about the fact that so often, in terms of humanity, we leave everything too late. So you have to hit a brick wall and experience a catastrophe before anything happens. But this time, of course, with this kind of disaster we've engineered, it takes a huge amount to turn the whole thing back to how it should be, to restore the balance.
He's actually talking about climate change there, if you were just getting a little bit of a sort of a prickly freak out feeling. And he's talking about Greta Thunberg, who herself is self-isolating. She says it's extremely likely that she has the virus. She's had shivers, a sore throat, and a cough, both her and her dad, actually, after being on a train around Sweden. But she hasn't been tested for the virus. That's the policy in Sweden at the moment, I think, is to stay home, isolate, and not get to that stage until you get critical. But she says also that she has basically recovered. But she is prompting other young people, or imploring other young people, to take it seriously. And Greta obviously has a lot of clout. So it's good to see her warning other young people that they are not immune.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast.
Property Pulse, in association with Property Finder. Welcome to life.
Indeed, time now to delve into the top property stories of the week. And we kick things off with our friends at Property Finder. We're joined by the Director for Data and Research at Property Finder, Lynette Abad. Lynette, thanks very much indeed for your time this morning.
Hello, good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're getting on with things, as I'm sure you and your team are, in some extraordinary times that we find ourselves. Let's start with one of the big stories, not just of the week, of the day as well. Well, Abu Dhabi and Dubai tenants struggling to pay their rent during the coronavirus pandemic are going to be made exempt from eviction after the government issued new directives to protect them. What does this mean for the market?
Well, the government has been very proactive with their initiatives during this time. So this is just yet another very good initiative to protect the residents of Dubai. I expect to see more coming from the government, especially when it comes to residential properties.
In terms of the message that sends, obviously we are seeing a raft of very bold decisions being made at the moment. Everyone looking for peace of mind. Does that give peace of mind, though, to owners?
Look, I mean, we're all in this together. So as an owner, an owner also lives in a property. So whether they have a mortgage that they're looking to get some relief on, or they themselves could be renting. So I think what the point is that we're all trying to rally together and get through these next few months unscathed.
Let's get on to some of the data that you guys have been able to come up with, and you are still churning that out, which is much appreciated to all of us invested in the property market here. New data and analytics platform DataFinder has revealed that the majority of average transaction prices, this is of rental and sales searches in the UAE, remains below the asking prices. Tell us more.
Yes, that is true. So basically, if you look at the data from DataFinder, which, by the way, we are giving DataFinder for free to all real estate professionals for a month so that they can look at the data and look at the facts instead of what they're seeing on social media and the opinions. So what we are seeing as far as transaction prices, it depends on the area. So, for example, in Dubai Marina, we're seeing properties transact higher than asking prices. So, for example, your average one-bedroom apartment asking is $80,000. However, it's transacting for $84,000. In other areas, for example, Business Bay, we're seeing the opposite. So asking price is higher than transaction price. If you look at the amount of transactions for 2020, we're actually 19% higher than 2019. And this is as of March 23rd. This month, for example, we've had a total of a little over 2,400 transactions, 1,200 or so were in the off plan and 1,300 or so were in the secondary. So deals are happening. Yesterday there was 100 transactions, the day before there was 110, the day before that there was 124 sale transactions. People need to renew their rental contracts. People need to find new rental properties. I had someone on my team that found a rental property this past week and she's moving this weekend. So life is going to go on. And as we saw in 2020, prices started to stabilize and we started to see an upward trajectory leading up into 2020. Things are still moving here in Dubai. Construction is still going on. I live next door to an Amar construction site, and every morning at 6 a.m., sure enough, they're constructing. So obviously, we're at a very slow period because we cannot leave our properties, and this affects viewings for the brokers. However, life has not stopped. And what the analysts are saying is that this will go on for about 2 to 3 months.
Businesses, industries across the world and across here, the region, are pivoting at the moment. They're forced to do so, forced to be more innovative in light of the current working conditions. You just mentioned there about the new initiative from Property Finder to give free data intelligence. Is that an example of the sort of new initiatives, the new details that you can proffer to clients in these challenging times?
Absolutely. We had our first webinar for clients this week and it was a success. We got so much positive feedback from our clients because the focus of the webinar was data. We provided them our search data, our leads data, data on just the virus in general. We provided them a lot of data and stats from DataFinder, and we realized after the webinar how powerful today data is seen in the eyes of the real estate professionals, whereas about, you know, a year ago they looked at it, but it wasn't the number one thing on their mind. And for example, in DataFinder, we show search patterns and lead patterns of the consumer. So who is looking for property where and what type? This is an excellent tool for agents to focus on and focus their sales in those areas, maybe areas that they don't necessarily transact in or would look at. And we're giving them the insight and the power to do this.
Lynette, as always, appreciate your time this morning. Appreciate all the support from the team at Property Finder. All the best to you and the team, and stay safe.
Yep, stay safe. Thank you.
Property Pulse, in association with Property Finder, where life moves.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.